Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City zone, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sin City Indie Report. No, your eyes do not deceive you. I am Sin City Steve, and I'm being joined today with a very special guest, Red Jed. Jed, how you doing today?
What's up, everybody? Hi! Doing great, brother. How you doing?
Doing well, man. And Red Jed is actually the brain and the driving force behind Red Jed's Wrestling Rants on YouTube. Tell them a little bit about what you do over there on that channel, Jed.
Yeah, man. So, pretty much right as we're doing this, some of the last videos from WrestleMania week, with the exception of Raw, are all on the Wrestling Rants YouTube. I've been running it for, I'm on and off for about 6 years, and I've been taking quite a hiatus from doing podcasting rants, but I'm ready to rock and roll again, and this will kind of kick off like another, so to speak, another run.
It's a new era.
It's a new era. Yes, a new era has begun, indeed. So here we go. Yeah. So right now, though, there's just a lot of clips. I've been posting clips for the last few years on the Wrestling Rants YouTube at Super Red Jed. So check that out. Highlights from matches, finishes of matches, entrances, random shit. You can only see from going to some of the live events and just dropping clips as they happen. But like I said, coming up, we got some rants to do. So let's do it.
Absolutely, man. And so obviously we're here in Las Vegas, and as everybody is well aware, WrestleMania 42 took place just this past weekend in Sin City. But as anybody who follows pro wrestling knows, it's not just about Mania for Mania Week. There are plenty of events that surround that show. And quite frankly, not enough shine gets given to those additional promotions, those additional talents that are out there showcasing what they can do. And they're not part of the WrestleMania show. But in some cases, we saw certain people 8-9 times this week. Yeah. So, that being said, man, let's just go ahead and dive in. Let's talk about the first show that we hit up. It was live from the FSW Arena, and I'm talking about BRCW Boca Raton Championship Wrestling. And Jed, give me just some surface-level things that you some observations that you had from this show.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, this was the first show of the week. This was on the Wednesday afternoon. We started up, and FSW Arena, a great little venue, been there many times, lots of good memories from this place, and this was a unique one, Boca Raton Championship Wrestling, way back down in Florida. We had some interesting personalities that I know you and I connected with at the Jericho Cruise that were running this show. That was interesting. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect a lot of just some random names. They had Gangrel. They had, Riddle was in the main event against Joe Coffey. Pretty solid match. I thought the opener four-way, too, with that Reese Maddox was pretty good. All in all, it was a nice, fun, really lighthearted show, I would call it. There was a tables comedy match in there, and the tag title match was pretty solid. Like I said, that main event was a very, very good, very solid first show, first main event. It was a nice solid 2 hours, just wrapped up into a little present there for us.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you mentioned some of the highlights for this show for you. I gotta say, man, it wasn't just in this show, but across many of the shows that we hit up this week, Ben Bishop was someone who was in that tag match against Gangrel's team. And he was somebody that really kind of stood out for me this week. He was all over the place. He was working a bunch of shows. He's fucking hilarious. If you don't follow him on social media, you need to. The guys, he's got a great sense of humor, and he's extremely creative too. So it's just a matter of time until he gets picked up. Also, the Sons of Boca, you know, defending their BRCW Tag Team Championships in a pretty interesting kind of a set of circumstances. You had James Ellsworth get involved there, and then he turns heel, joins up with the Sons of Boca. Kind of interesting stuff. EJ Anduka and Kenny King. You know, Kenny King is a longtime friend of the show. We did the live show with him so many years ago. And what a great name for the Las Vegas wrestling scene. You know, also, you know, you had mentioned too, the fun factor was certainly in this one. I think that this was a lighthearted way to start the week and just kind of ease into things because we had a lot of shit go on this week. So, and you know, pivoting a bit, we had Ed in San Antonio putting on the first show of the horseshoe era, if you will, with Podair Mania. And, you know, Ed has done some great things over the years. He's really given women's wrestling a platform to shine at these WrestleMania shows and these WrestleCon weekend type shows that he's been doing for a long time. So excellent stuff there. Obviously, you know, the matches to keep an eye on up there, you know, you've got the women's championship with Brittany Blake defending against Shotzi Blackheart. Now, obviously, Shotzi was all over everything.
Oh, my God, man. Unbelievable.
We saw her in like 8 different shows, man. It was awesome.
And even from, you know, coming back this week and checking out shows online, additional shows that we missed. I mean, she was just on a multiple level of them from every location, multiple times in a day. I mean, just unbelievable. I know we'll talk about her later for sure, because she showed up at a lot of our shows.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And obviously, we don't have, you know, the power to be in more than one place at one time. So Jed and I, we did go and attend a lot of these shows that we're going to talk about today. Some of them we did watch via Triller Plus or other streaming platforms. But unfortunately, there are some that did kind of slip through the cracks. So I definitely can tell you that there are avenues out there to check out this content. Triller Plus, while it's still going, is a great bargain for all of the content that you're going to get. It's $10 a month and you get access to, you know, all of these shows, like the Podair Mania show, like all of the shows that were at the Horseshoe. So excellent stuff, man.
Yep. And then Triller also had Slam Fest, which was all of the shows at the Palms, which we'll talk about as well. And then in addition, a lot of these shows, some of these indie shows, I should call them, they're actually have been on, they're on YouTube. The first two shows we went to, in fact, are fully on YouTube from start to finish. So that Boca Raton show, and then another one we're going to be probably talking about in a moment here.
Absolutely. And, what's up, Scoop? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, brother. And, that kind of segues right in, man. The Bionic Scoop is the best photographer for in-ring shots. And, quite honestly, that you're going to find, not just in Las Vegas, I'll say it. He's the best in the business. So go follow him on his social medias, the Bionic Scoop. He's an excellent follow and does amazing work. So shout out to you, sir. I know you were busier than hell this past week. Also, shout outs to the One Jester Official. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight and enjoy the show.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. So as far as Just kind of putting a pin into that, the Podair show. Shout outs to a couple of other names that were absolutely everywhere on this weekend. We had Brittany Brooks and Gypsy Mac in there as well against Izzy Moreno. And, you know, Gypsy and Brittany, like I said, they both were on numerous shows. And Brittany was even one of the extras that was used at WrestleMania. So props to her for that.
What a week for her, man. She also seconded Natalia,
yes,
I believe, at Bloodsport. So
absolutely. Yep. And so also just kind of pivoting a bit here, we did go also to the Downtown Slam and saw Big Valley Wrestling putting on a show with the city of Las Vegas. Downtown, as the name would suggest. The one Jester echoes my point and said, Scoop is approved by the Asylum and FSW. So hell yes, there you go, man. But obviously, you know, we love to showcase all of the promotions, and a great thing about Las Vegas is that there are several promotions here in Vegas. Obviously we do the DeFalco Files every single week right here with Joe DeFalco, the owner and founder of Future Stars of Wrestling. But honestly, that's not the end all be all for pro wrestling in Las Vegas. There are other promotions, and we got to give these other promotions their flowers as well.
Absolutely.
So as the water rises, all boats rise. As the tide comes in, all boats rise. So shout outs to the talents that we saw at the Downtown Slam. We had Nick Zander, who, you know, he's a staple in Las Vegas professional wrestling. Definitely earned his keep on that show, instantly establishing himself to a great audience. Maybe some folks, and this is one of the great things with these types of events and this week, is it opens the door for people who don't know these talents to discover them and to follow them. And honestly, that's one reason why we are launching the Sin City Indie Report, because we need to cast a spotlight where it needs to be shined. And we've got a bunch of excellent, talented workers, not just here in Vegas, not just in Nevada, but all across the country. So we're going to try to give everybody a little bit of shine and put some names over that you might not have heard of. So excellent stuff there. Shout outs to our boys, Lights, Camera, Faction as well. Friends of the show, friends of the podcast, as they successfully defended their Big Valley Wrestling Tag Team Championships. Excellent stuff, especially for a free show, Jed.
Yeah, free show. The environment was cool. They had a food truck down there, free show at the Civic Center Plaza downtown. And I just thought the environment there was great. They had a nice stage set up. A lot of unique stuff with this show. So this is the first time I think I've been to a show that they started out with a pre-show ahead of time, that they actually, instead of having pre-show matches, they had pre-show promos from all of the main competitors coming out to the ringside area, being interviewed by a few different announcers, who also, incidentally, the announcers did play-by-play commentary over the speaker system. So this is actually a multiple shows this week. So it's definitely a thing to, I think, particularly at shows that are more for, you know, family audiences or a general public, to get more interest in them. So a lot of these free shows actually had running commentary going as well, which I found interesting. And the main event was Nick Zander against Bode Young Prodigy and Jack Cartwheel. I did end up watching, I know we left a little early, but I ended up watching this, the rest of this show on YouTube again. It is available, so check it out. And also Ricky Tenacious and Santana Jackson.
Yes.
Were the co-main events.
Yes.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
You know, you mentioned Ricky Tenacious. Obviously, he was all over. He was another name to mention. Whether the show was in front of 15 people at a library or, you know, whatever it was, Ricky Tenacious was doing his thing. And, you know, his contributions can't be overstated.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, he was all over this week.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, as we turn a little bit, let's talk just a bit about some of the other wrestling shows and get into some of the Horseshoe branded shows. as we talk about progress, and dude, I'll tell you, man, this show was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah.
Dude, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it, and sure shit.
It sure shit.
Yeah.
You know, you had Paul Hauser and Big Damo arguably stealing the show, having two big guys just in there slinging bombs at each other. And call it whatever you will, man. Paul Hauser, being an actor, being an outsider to the business, has certainly stepped in and quite frankly jumped into this entire thing head first in more ways than one.
Yeah, absolutely. He had three matches over the weekend. We saw two of the three. So this one, and then I know we both watched the Maple Pro show. We'll talk about it a little bit. Another solid match with him and QT Marshall. And then he also worked against one called Manders at some show over the week. I can't remember which one it was particularly. Unbelievable. Man. I just have to throw out too, like, you know, you and I are kind of veterans of WrestleMania week. So this was our 12th WrestleMania week we've gone to in our history. And I think more than ever, this is not even hyperbole, but there was more shows this week than any fucking year ever for WrestleMania week.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, we, to peel the curtain back a little bit, Jed and I, we hit 10 shows this week. And that was starting on Wednesday. And so, I mean, we were pulling two a days, and that was for the shows that we actually physically went to.
Yeah.
And you know, we watched hours on Triller Plus to catch the things that we didn't see live. Just an excellent week of pro wrestling for sure.
Yeah, it was so immersive, man. There never was a moment where like, okay, what's on or what should we watch or where should we go to? I mean, it was just constant. It was a constant flow of fucking wrestling action, man.
Hell yeah, dude. Yep. Hell yeah, man. And you know, fucking wrestling action. Honestly, the main event here, Man Like Darice versus Michael Oku. I was into it. I think Darice really kind of, he put himself over and took a step forward for quite a big audience that may not have known who he was before this weekend. Michael Oku, nearly everybody knows who Michael Oku is. He was involved in some of the most fantastic matches this week. So he was another one whose stock went through the roof. But somebody else whose stock went through the roof was Leo Rush.
No shit, right. Yeah, dude, I was surprised to see him on the show. I was happy to see it.
Leo Rush is embracing the Blackheart gimmick. Yeah. He's doing it, and I'm glad that all of these acts and gimmicks are starting to work their way back into pro wrestling. You know, for the longest time, everybody's been, oh, well, he's just a badass or she's just a badass. That's their gimmick. No, give us some more gimmicks. Give us a little bit more. I don't want to say acting, but bring in some of that additional element that might not be there.
Yeah. Some charismatic characters, some, you know, like larger than life kind of personas. That's what wrestling's all about. We want variety. We want these, you know, extreme kind of like wacky, unique kind of characters. That's what I live for this business for, man, is the characterizations, the gimmicks, man, the gimmicks. Come on.
Hell yeah, dude. A little
gimmick right here. Come on.
And Scoop echoes my point. Darice is phenomenal live. You know, you could tell that he was having a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And also Scoop chimes in here and says that Leo versus BYP was great. I'll tell you, man, for those people who might not be familiar with BYP, he has a fantastic future ahead of him, especially for his age, his experience level, and what he's able to do in the ring already. Dude has such a bright future.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's gonna take it to that other level. I could see him in a TNA or one of these promotions in no time.
Very soon.
Take a look at him. Yeah.
Very soon. Yep. And, you know, obviously there are plenty of excellent matches from each show. So unfortunately we can't break them all down. But we're just kind of giving some quick hits. Let's turn over now to the TJPW show. And this was just a fun show, man. Another name that impressed, that was all over the place this weekend, was J-Rod. She had an excellent showing here, going for the Princess of Princess Championship. Came up just a bit short in that, but J-Rod did get some gold and win a championship this weekend. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yep.
But anything stand out to you, Jed, from this TJPW show?
Yeah, that J-Rod match. She's going somewhere. I've seen her for a while. She's been a mainstay in OVW. I saw some West Coast stuff she did earlier in her career. So she's really developed herself. I think the ultimate goal for her is WWE. I think she, cosmetically, she's got that look that they would want. And we'll see if she gets a look, but I could see her in NXT within the next year.
In no time, brother.
Yeah,
in no time. Yeah,
you bet.
So yeah, absolutely. And of note also on the TJPW show, I mean, you had some names that made their presence felt. You had the Inspiration showing up there in TJPW. And I actually spoke to a couple of individuals, one of which said that he dragged his mom to WrestleMania weekend, and this show, this TJPW show, actually made her into a pro wrestling fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So that's honestly one of the great things about this weekend is it allows for so much discovery. And if you don't like the ultra violence that you're going to get with GCW, you know, maybe you'll like the things that you're going to get from maybe Dragon Gate, or, you know, something along those lines. Maybe you're going to love CMLL, which, that actually ties right in. But the great thing is that wrestling truly is a variety show. It should be treated as such. And there's a little something for everybody.
Yeah, more never, especially WrestleMania week. I mean, you have, it's like pick of the litter. Like, what type of genre do you want to focus on? Do you want to do death matches? Do you want to go with Joshi? Do you want to go, to CMLL? Do you want to do the Lucha stuff? You have such a variety every single week at WrestleMania week. It's just like the number of women, all women matches and all our album and shows this week.
Oh, was dude.
Incredible, man.
Yeah. It was more than I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even running head to head.
Two
women shows at the same time. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That shows real growth in the industry.
Absolutely does, man. And, I did name drop it just a minute ago. The CMLL show, honestly, was one of my most anticipated shows for the weekend. And I've got to say, man, you look at the card here. Obviously, this poster was before the main event was slightly changed to a tag match. But what really stole the show for me on this was Blue Panther and Ultimo Guerrero, combined age of like 120. These guys fucking tore the house down, bro.
It was wild. The crowd was insane for that match, and the work was insane. The whole energy of that match from start to finish, even in the introductions, was like at another level. I didn't expect what we got. I expected something solid out of it, of course.
Oh,
but
yeah,
what we got out of it was one of the best matches of the week, period.
I would definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
And, if you would have asked me on this card, if you would say, Sin City Steve, one of these matches will be the Dark Horse candidate for the best match of WrestleMania weekend, which one do you think it would be? Quite frankly, I would think that it would be the tag match. With Dorada and Neon,
right.
But no, it ended up being two dudes whose combined ages were 120 showing the youngsters that they can still hang.
Yeah, they were bumping, man. Like, especially Blue Panther, he was bumping. He was taking like top rope suplexes, and that motherfucker was throwing himself all over the place, man. Unbelievable.
It was exquisite, man. Yeah. And another match that really was a solid match was Persephone defending her CMLL World Women's Championship against, in this poster, it was TBD, But that TBD ended up being TB in Tessa Blanchard. Yeah, and these two women went out here and beat the shit out of each other. Yeah. Had a hell of a match.
Yeah, again, definitely another one of the highlights of the show. I had a soft spot for the Minis match. Now, I know this match was probably, work rate rise, probably the worst shit you'll ever see. I don't know.
Wrestling for life, brother.
You're right. I loved it, man. It was like watching like a really cheesy movie or something that you just can't turn your head away from it. It's just like, wow, how ridiculous is this going to get? Okay. They went there and it was great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, as you're mentioning that, for those not aware, that was Kimelito and Periquito Zacarias versus Shamuel and Tengu. And good shit there across the board. A little something for everybody, which is what pro wrestling is and should be. Let's turn over now and talk about the Mark Hitchcock WrestleCon Super Show. This obviously is a memorial show that WrestleCon's been doing for years now. Unfortunately, it got some bad press, because there was a match that was supposed to happen that was signed off by both parties and both promotions that they were representing, but plans changed, brother. So that ended up being swapped out for The Demand versus Jet Speed and Michael Oku. So the original match was to be Ricochet versus Leon Slater. We didn't get that, but what we got instead was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was fire. It was, that main event was fire, man. A rematch from Forbidden Door. I would argue as good, if not better, than the first match.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It was solid. And I really love Tanaka and Mark Davis. That really hit me hard, brother. Yeah. That was great. That was a good one.
That threw out shades of the old Mike Awesome battles with Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what they were going for too, like an homage to that almost. And then as always with the WrestleCon Super Show, we get that random multi-man tag, which is just a variety of workers, like almost in a surprise, like to be announced type of thing. And that's always fun too. That's always something I look forward to with the WrestleCon Super Shows every single year.
Hell yes, man. And, as far as... This show that was, unfortunately, we didn't make it directly to that show. Thankfully, we were able to check that one out on Triller. One show that we did go to, and I'm very grateful that we made it to, was House of Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, let me tell you. So as was mentioned this week on the Biggest Bad Boys podcast, we were at this show also. Rob Trump was there with us. There was a little something for everybody on the show. Again, we had Shotzi Blackheart taking on Charlie, the former Dakota Kai. Bandito and Amazing Red, which incidentally, that match has been uploaded to the House of Glory YouTube. So if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend after this show is over, go check that out, because it is well worth your time. Bandito and Amazing Red tore the house down. Mm-hmm. But, dude, you got to give it up for Brody King and another name whose stock went through the fucking roof this week, Zillow Fatu.
Yep. I know when we went to WrestleCon as well, man, his table was like going on the whole time. Never... less than like 6, 7, 8 people waiting in line for him at his table. It was very impressive. The work he does is something. He's got an aura to him that is really unique. We'll see where that goes. We'll see where it plays out. But he's making some momentum, and this week certainly helped that.
Oh yeah, yep. Most definitely, dude. And obviously, it goes without saying too. The House of Glory championship match with Michael Oku challenging against Charles Mason. And again, Oku, dude, he did excellent stuff. Yeah. Nearly every show that he was on was great. And then to top it all off, you had the Hardys and the Good Brothers. And if nothing else, you know, it was good for the nostalgia, seeing these guys in there doing their thing. Yep. But yeah, a very, very solid show. And I'll say this, I believe the House of Glory show had the best attendance of any of the Palms shows. It was packed. They sure even had the upper deck, not fenced off or tarped off. That whole fucking building was loaded for House of Glory.
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, top to bottom. Yep. Sold out show. The crowd was in it from start to finish. I think, and it's justified that the Bandido in Amazing Red match got uploaded free, because that was the top of the show, I think. I mean, they really tore it up. So rightfully so. Everybody needs to check that out. Yeah, it
was absolutely.
Really, overall, I think overall, between this one and I'd argue Spring Break 10 was also top to bottom, really, really strong show. But yeah, they're like neck and neck.
I definitely agree. House of Glory is, I'd say, 1A for me in terms of indie shows this past week from WrestleMania. And then, as we'll talk about in just a bit, Spring Break is 1B.
Yeah.
But another show that was part of the collective was Death Vegas Invitational. Yeah.
Damn, dude. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
bro. You want to see a dead body?
Right.
My God.
Especially that main event was pretty fucking good. Wow. Like, holy shit, where are they going? Also to note, I thought the Zack Sabre Jr. match was fantastic, and it surprised me. I think that may have been one of the better openers of the week of any of the shows.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that does that I have to mention here is obviously Zack Sabre Jr. And his opponent Fumino Ori Abe. They set the tone for this show. And it was a technical masterpiece in there. It was not a, let's grab light tubes and cut each other all to fuck, as we saw elsewhere. I think that this kind of started things off in a little bit of a different tone for the show. But you know, elsewhere you had that main event. You know, let's be real. Let's talk about this main event. Because the three-way tag match, bro, I don't think I've seen that many light tubes in quite some fucking time.
No shit. Well,
because
Desperado was beyond bloody. I mean, we're talking Muda scale level shit we're talking here.
Oh, yeah.
The dude was like covered from head to toe in fucking blood.
You know, I mean, when you say the names in the match too, you got Nick Gage, Matt Tremont versus El Desperado, Jun Kasai versus Masashi Takeda and Rina Yamashita. Dude, every single person in this match took years off their fucking lives.
No shit.
That's the best way that I can say it. Matt Tremont was bleeding all fucking weekend. I'm surprised that he was still upright after the weekend with how much blood that man lost.
Yeah, between the clusterfuck show and this show. Wow. I mean, my God, dude.
Good Lord. Cool. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, elsewhere you did also have the Bust in the Brain. Unfortunately, with some things that happened with Bust in the Brain this week, how should we say this? The logistics of the steps. The very first show of the weekend, unfortunately, took out Alec Price.
Hell of a bruise on the back of his leg from basically the stairwell kind of falling.
The stairs off. Just getting him. Yeah. So he was able to work some other shows during the week, but yeah, dude. Who would have thunk it? Like getting fucked up on your entrance.
The first show of the
from stairs
that you're doing. Yeah. No shit. Unreal.
What do you do?
Yeah.
But, you know, props to Alec Price though, for soldiering through as much as he did.
He sure did.
You know, that had to suck. And if you haven't seen the bruise, just look that shit up. Mm-hmm. Dude.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, we did have the World on Lucha. This was a fun show. Every year, GCW does their Friday morning lucha show to kind of get things kicked off, get the momentum going for their shows at the Collective. This was no different. You had excellent matches here. Team Dragon Gate versus Team Gringo Loco was your main event. That was a fun match to watch all around. And then let's call it what it is. You had the Lucha Extrema match with Viperous and El Desperado. Again, Desperado, man, doing his thing.
Yeah, man. And then this would have been, if I recall, the death match was the night before, and then this was the following morning. So he was still kind of healing from the fucking blood flow that he endured in the previous night. It was unbelievable. And then he went off again and had another hardcore match. So
he loves it, bro.
Crazy motherfucker, yeah.
Crazy motherfucker's right. So, but yeah, excellent stuff. And then we did happen to be in the building for BTW, Big Time Wrestling. This went down at the Bazaar Bar in the Arts District. Honestly, dude, this was a fun show.
Yeah, man.
Top to bottom, dude. It was a blast. And I think the space at the Bazaar Bar is one where you're right on top of everything.
Yeah.
You are in the action, whether you want to be or not. You're going to have people brawling all over you. It was fun though, dude. It was a blast. Yeah. This was a surprise show for me. I thought it was going to be a good show, but this show far and away exceeded my expectations.
Same thing, man. I think both of us were like really didn't know what to expect, and the venue itself as well. I'd never been there. Didn't know what it was going to be like. I thought the lineup was pretty solid going into it, but I didn't. I really had no expectations on it, and going into it and coming out of it, man. This was one of the highlights for me of the week, just because of the sheer, I would call it like the sheer immersiveness or intimacy of this show. You're in a small bar. You are literally right there within the first row or the second row of what's going on. This ring had basically hardly any like outside, area. So the ring is like right next to the crowd. I mean, when they were doing some high spots, they were literally diving right into the crowd. I'll shamelessly plug Wrestling Rants. I did drop some videos from this event that we were damn close. I mean, we were like Ricochet, Rob Van Dam, Shotzi Blackheart were like bumping into us. I mean, that's how close we were. There was a particular spot in the women's three-way match with Shotzi and Viva Van. There was another worker where there was a titty bite.
Yeah.
So check it out on my Wrestling Rants, the breast bite angle for the Shotzi Blackheart match. You get a kick out of it. It was funny. It was totally improv. Didn't expect it. And sure shit, one competitor is biting the other's tit. So there you go.
That was awesome, man. Yeah, as you mentioned, the main event was one that we found to be pretty interesting given the whole wrestling landscape. It was The Demand versus Rob Van Dam, QT Marshall, and Starboy Charlie, who, in case you're not aware, is a WWE contracted talent at this point and has appeared on NXT. So, of course, you know, with everything that's been going on surrounding Ricochet and the Leon Slater match and other matches that were pulled off of shows, we didn't know if this thing was going to happen. Right. But they did some very smart things with how they structured this match. And if you'll notice in this match, Starboy Charlie was he was not the one to eat the pin. It was QT Marshall. Yep. And it was really well done across the board to make everyone happy, I think.
Right. Yeah, I thought so, too. And I thought there was good dynamic and energy when they had Van Dam and Ricochet in there.
Yes.
I thought it felt special, unique.
Agreed.
Kind of once in a lifetime type of thing. I really enjoyed the main. I just thought, man, top to bottom, I just really was impressed by the presentation. And like I said, that intimate dynamic, I have gone to in the past a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot of, but a handful of pro wrestling guerrilla shows back when they were at the Reseda location at the American Legion of the VFW. And this had that similar vibe. You're just right there. You're like, you can literally put your hand out and touch the ring. I mean, that's how close you were. So it reminded me a lot of those PWG shows.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I think that I made the comment to you in this show as well that who knew that losing his mask would be the absolute best thing to ever happen to KJ Orso. Yeah. But here we are. The former Fuego del Sol obviously lost his mask as part of a storyline a while back. And he's really developed a new character and gone in a completely different direction than many people thought that he would go. And he's an excellent heel. He's been doing some excellent stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody doesn't give him a look very soon.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, just think about it. I mean, it was last year at Spring Break 9 where he lost his mask and he effectively turned heel. And since that point, in just a year, he's come around a lot in his characterization. And he was another guy that was multiple shows. Really, in every instance, I was impressed by his work. And I think the sky's the limit for this guy. He's gonna get a look. He's gonna get a look. He's gonna move out of GCW in time, I think.
Absolutely. And Bionic Scoop says, not a fun time at those sized venues. Got a broken nose from it.
Oh,
brother, I can imagine, given your line of work and what you do. So obviously, as a fan, from the fan perspective, absolutely love the venue, but I completely understand how it would be an occupational hazard being at one of those shows, if you
will. Sure. Yeah. It's everything's too close for comfort, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then from there, we went to another show that was outside. It was at Container Park, and this was the PWO. This was a couple of promotions that got together. It was the Kingslayer Wrestling and Impact Zone Wrestling went on and put on this show. And honestly, dude, I had a fun time watching this show.
Yeah, man, that was great. We got into it. Really didn't know what to expect. I know last year we went to Container Park just to see very briefly what the layout was there, but we didn't really get to check out a show. So this time around, this year, we got to one and really caught, for the most part, the most of the show. And I thought there was, I know Jordan Cruz was in the opener when we showed up. He's a talent I'm familiar with, and he looked great in there. And they had a women's three-way match that was pretty solid with, I cannot remember the ID prospect talent that was in that match, but I thought she looked great. And then, a wild main event. Wild.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I don't even know where to start with that fucking match, man.
Container Park Chaos was the nickname of the match. And that, it lived up to it for sure, man.
Yeah, it sure did. It was a six-woman hardcore match street fight with the PWO and then a team that I believe was captained by Maserati and then a few others. And, oh, my God. I mean, it was chaotic. Mickey Knuckles was involved in this match. She was like a second to the PWO, if I recall. Mm-hmm. And then something happened with Sue Young. She took a bump coming off of a ladder onto the table, and it was an ugly bump. It was not a flat bump. It was far from it. She went kind of like knees first and kind of to the side on the table. So I think she got legitimately injured. And then from there, Mickey Knuckles came in and just all hell fucking broke loose, man. She is fucking wild, man. Like, kids were at this show and I felt like, what is going on here? Like, this fucking Mickey Knuckles doing like abhorrent shit while these children are just watching this fucking perverted bitch go off, you know? Like, what the fuck? It was crazy.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
And in fact, there was a child that was
he was acting as a second for his mom. I think it was Rochelle Riveter. And oh my God.
Yeah. They I can't remember who ended up like throwing down with him at the end after the match, but that kid got pushed down. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he was going to take a bump at that point, even like worse than what happened. But yeah, it was chaotic enough as is. Maserati went through some tacks. Yeah, the shit was crazy. Let me tell you.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And, you know, standout for me as well, you know, Miss Paradise. I think that she has an excellent look. I think that, you know, obviously, as these talents grow and as they gain more exposure, they get out there. I think that the sky is going to be the limit for a lot of these workers if they continue to, you know, just do what they're doing. Also got a shout out to the three guys in that KSW championship match. Yeah. Friend of the show, our boy Damian Drake, looked good in that match. Also can't stop Jamal. And the winner of that three-way was new KSW champion Dante King. So yeah, all three guys put on an excellent match. Excellent stuff there at mm-hmm. Container Park.
Yeah, both the men's and women's three ways. They both were very solid. And then you follow that up with that chaotic six woman street fight, you know, Container Chaos. And it was a really nice show for a free show. Again, very impressed. I felt like the talent really stepped up and really made it a really memorable show for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you had mentioned, shout outs to the WWE ID talent Fallen Gray. She was a standout in this show as well.
Yep.
So speaking of the women, let's turn our attention to Stardom. And man, this show was a lot of fun. I think that there was some excellent in-ring action here. Mm-hmm. Jed, what stood out to you the most from this show?
The Athena match I thought was probably the best of the show. I'd put it neck and neck to me. I mean, I really liked that six woman tag at the end with mm-hmm. Babes of Wrath and Statlander against Starlight Kid, Azumi and Meishura. Mm-hmm. That was top notch main, but yeah, that Athena match, really delivered too. I was really impressed by it. Those were the two matches that really came out to me, but I think more than anything was the angle with Tekla,
yes,
and the president of Stardom. I am so intrigued on where this is going to go next. I'm thinking maybe Forbidden Door or something. We'll see where they go with it. But
you know, I hope they do follow up with this. And you know, you mentioned the angle with Tekla showing up to accost, if you will, Taro Okada. So yeah, really good stuff. Kayfabe, keep it alive. It's fantastic. And quite frankly, I would love for this to be a running storyline where every single time that there's a Stardom show with AEW talents on it, yeah, have Tekla there and have her show up and like fuck with him in some way, shape or form. I think that's something else that they continue to do.
For sure. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I thought this was probably like overall from what I saw of all of the, like all women shows, this probably took the cake, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree. You know, from top to bottom, you know, you had, excellent matches in there. Alex Windsor, you know, she continues to make new fans and to make a name for herself here in the States. And I think that what we're seeing, not just with this show, but with what she's done since she's, you know, been put into the Brawling Birds, I think that, you know, she's really picking up momentum. And I think that people are going to actually be, you know, saying her name more frequently. So she's going to be a big winner, I think, when we look back at this, at, you know, this time period, a mm-hmm. year from now, we'll see that her stock jump through the roof too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is another thing that's really cool about WrestleMania week is you see the talent rising and then you see, like you said, like a year later or a couple of years later where they're at. Sometimes we catch it at ground level too, where somebody's just kind of getting themselves out there and then they just start shining and it takes off. They get, you know, connections from Mania week. And boom, there we go. And that's one thing I love about this week is there's just so much like organicness to it or something. You know what I mean? Like it's truly the cream rising from the top.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. Yeah. And you know, speaking about rising to the top, we did have, and as we found out at the end of the show, unfortunately, the final edition of Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
We had Josh Barnett, Yuji Nagata doing their thing, beating the shit out of each other. But I gotta tell you, man, Natty and Shayna put on a fucking clinic, bro.
No shit. Yeah. That whole presentation was just like fucking top notch, man. Whoever booked this show, I don't know if it was Josh Barnett or like who exactly books these shows. Or is it a team? I don't know what it is, or if is it the competitors themselves, but whoever fucking booked that match, the way that they booked it, unreal, you know, it was just a spectacle.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, one thing that I do want to make mention of here too was, you know, Miyu Yamashita and Jinai Kai. I think that Jinai was all over Mania as well.
Yeah.
I think that she is just on the cusp of breaking out. Yes. I see her being a name that we are going to talk about if there's some sort of a show that runs in parallel to Mania next year or something around that time. If there's another collective slate of shows, I think that she will be a name that we talk about after the next slate of shows. She's one of those competitors that, you know, she's gotten better and better and better, and she's primed for a breakout right on the edge of it. And I think that we saw more proof of it here.
Yeah. Yeah. Between this one and we'll talk about it in a bit, but the Natural Born Killer show as well. She's got that MMA vibe down really solid. And I think that's going to mean something in the long run.
Without a doubt, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, Royce Isaacs is a freak of nature. This dude, both at the Bloodsport show and at the NBK show, this guy looks like he was chiseled out of fucking granite.
Yeah.
Just a monster. And, you know, he took on Shane Mercer, but, those two tore it down as well. But, I gotta give props, man. Timothy Thatcher and Charlie Dempsey, boy.
Yeah, man.
Buddy.
Good shit. Yeah. In this show, like I still kind of like, thinking about these Bloodsport shows, like the integration of like how they do allow WWE talent to get in the mix of it. And it's just like a complete stripped down version of whatever they are in WWE. And I love it. I mean, seeing Pete Dunne in there and just a variety and so many talent that, you know, WWE fortunately is comfortable with them doing this. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, otherwise Natty wouldn't have had a moment this week. She would have fell off the radar, you know?
Exactly. But she looked like a fucking killer.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She looked like a fucking killer after this show.
Yeah. Now if they can just pivot that, and I know they've tried with her on the main roster, but it's not connecting. I don't know what's going to take, but she's got the gimmick down. It's just got to be used in a proper way on the main roster.
And, Scoop says that NBK might be one of the best sets he shot all weekend. You know, man, that wouldn't surprise me. That venue looked like $1 million, and FSW, Joe, everybody involved with the production team across the board, they put out an excellent slate of product from the HyperX. Yeah. So everyone involved from FSW should give themselves a pat on the back for a job well done. We will definitely talk a bit about NBK here in a minute. I do want to make mention, Mecca, we will kind of leave that up to Matt and Joe to discuss on the DeFalco files, because let's be real, who better to talk about the show than the sources themselves? So let's hear it straight from Joe's mouth. And you'll hear that on the DeFalco files. So tune in for that this week. So
absolutely.
Let's turn now to Joey Janela's Spring Break 10. Ooh. Buddy boy, this was 1B for me. This dude, whether it was the Joey Janela versus Brody Lee Jr. match, is it in a debut match or whether it was the Sandman wrestling his final match against the Invisible Man. This show was a fucking good time, dude.
Yeah, man. It was to me, I think this was one of the more like top to bottom, start to finish, the most cohesively booked GCW show I've seen in years. They've had a lot of times where it's like, oh, they went to the Hammerstein, you know, and there's a lot of hype involved in it and things like that. And they really never like made the hype. It didn't live up to it. But I think like this one, the one we attended last year, Spring Break 9 as well, the Janela Spring Break brand is where it's at. That's the pinnacle of GCW. And this was just another example of it. I mean, goddamn it. From the start to the finish, just... Oh my God. I mean, we started with a ladder match, if I recall.
You grabbed the brass ring ladder match.
Yeah. And it was just like
where the fucking top rope broke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All of a sudden, boom. And kudos for the talent. They didn't fucking bother them for nothing. They continued on. Thank God it was a ladder match so they could do that and put the focus more towards the ladder and, you know, things like that. But yeah, and then like how there was just it was almost like a gauntlet ladder match. Like random people were not like coming in right at the same time. So then all of a sudden we'd have like Masato Tanaka showed up, and it was like, what? Okay. I liked it though. It was very like out of control and you really unpredictable as hell. I loved it.
It was a clusterfuck before the clusterfuck.
Yeah, it indeed was. Yes, indeed.
And, you know, I made mention earlier that Joey Janela wrestled against Brody Lee Jr. in Brody Lee Jr.'s debut match. Dude, this guy is 14 years old. He is absolutely just on another level. The excellent work that Natty and TJ are doing at the dungeon with his training cannot be overstated.
Yeah.
This kid looks excellent in the ring and he's 14.
Right.
He's more technically sound than I'd say almost half of the pro wrestlers that are out there right now. It's insane.
It's unreal. So, you know, by WrestleMania 45 week or 46, he's going to be 18. Who knows where he's going to be by that point. But man, can you imagine what kind of level of talent he's going to be at by that time at this rate, you know? My God, it was impressive. And kudos to Janela as well. Janela was careful as fuck with this kid. He didn't take any dangerous bumps. Yet it was a compelling back and forth match. There was definitely heat. It was a cohesively, way more cohesive and together than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. And, you know, the turning a bit there, obviously, we did also see the final match in the storied career of the Sandman as he laid down and put over the Invisible Man on the way out.
He sure did. And he didn't get gassed in the process either. He looked pretty good out there for what may or may not be his last match. Let's be honest. We know how these things go. So
pro wrestling is pro wrestling.
Right. Exactly. So where there's money, there is potential of another match. But and I frankly think that maybe the Sandman deserves a true final match with a true competitor in a competitive situation. But this was fun. I mean, this was great. The run-ins were fantastic. The Foley thing was great. Foley looks
those
great.
Those atrocious cane shots from Kendra Lust.
Oh, yeah. Kendra Lust. Missy Hyatt. It was just one surprise after the next. And that's how a match like this should be. It's just campy. And it's all about, like, what the fuck's going to happen next? What ball is going to drop next? How are they going to one up the crazy shit they did 2 minutes prior to that? And it delivered.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, I do also have to mention another team that showed out like almost none other this weekend. was the three-man unit known as the Rascals. Obviously, we all know them. We all love them. And smoke them if you got them. But these boys,
yeah, man.
Every match that they were in, they fucking killed it this week.
They sure did.
One was no exception on this show. As you had Mathers, Price, and Oliver going against those guys. And all six of these boys tore the house down.
They sure did. And, you know, I'm thinking back on the timeline of this. So they did this show early in the evening of Friday, and then they zipped over to the Palms for the MLP show, which I believe was Friday night. And they were in the main event with Mystico, Amazing Red, and Mascara Dorada. So within 2 hours.
Which was fucking amazing. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. Fucking amazing. Yeah. So they delivered. I was happy to see them here this weekend. I would have loved if TNA could just be a little more agreeable to things, because there would have been an opportunity to have like a four-person tag with Trey Miguel in any of these matches, and it would have just taken it to that next level. But it is what it is.
Myron Reed, though, man. Myron Reed, he's definitely stepped up. A lot of people were concerned with how he would fare if he would get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
But no, he's done enough to set himself apart. Yeah. If jumping over the top rope and doing cutters on people is what you got to do, then fuck it. Let's go.
Exactly. And he's got that shit down pat.
Oh, dude. Does he ever.
No kidding.
And, you know, speaking of having things down, I've got to say it, man. Say whatever you will about the match, but Atticus Koger and the new Hayabusa, I was telling you, man, I'm not a huge fan of gimmicks being recycled. Just because in my view, Hayabusa is one of my most revered talents in the history of this business. Mm-hmm. So having somebody completely fresh take the mantle of Hayabusa and everything that mask and that sash represents, I wasn't a fan of it. But this match was a pretty standard match. We thought that based on video packages where Atticus was saying how, you know, the new Hayabusa is not scarred up, so I'm going to scar the fuck out of you. I was expecting there to just be complete ultra violence in this, and there wasn't. So yes, there were skewers and things like that, but in all consideration, compared to what other things I've seen Atticus in, this was a pretty middle of the road standard match that had a few, you know, violent spots, but it didn't take away from the match.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was just a solid match that didn't need all the buttons and whistles. I thought it delivered as is. I think where they focused all of the real hardcore stuff was to that Effie and Allie catch match, which, if I could be critical a little bit, to me, that was an uncomfortable match to watch. It just didn't have the heat I was thinking it would have. I think roles weren't defined enough for people to really be like, which way am I going here with this? Who's the babyface? Who's the heel? Nobody really wanted to see either of them like leave the company. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just like a weird, uncomfortable match to see Allie Catch just get fucked up beyond recognition.
She got her shit destroyed.
She did. Yeah. It was just an uncomfortable match. I would assume for them as well. It probably was. I felt like they were trying to hit the extreme level on this one. And I just feel like nobody really wanted to see that. I don't know. That's just me.
So. And Bionic Scoop chimes in and says, Trey is hurt, broken patella.
Oh, damn. No wonder. Okay. Yeah, I did see him at the WrestleCon. He was there one of the days at least. But yeah, that makes sense then why he wasn't in any of the matches.
Yep, absolutely. And obviously, you know, spring break was great. But we did then.
Oh, wow. This
yeah, we turn the page and then we go to Strangle Fucking Mania.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. This show started at like, what, 1 in the morning?
Yeah, dude. So it was supposed to start at midnight, but it took them 45 minutes to get shit cleaned up following spring break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was this started about 12:45 in the morning, and it still ran for like 4 hours.
Yeah, it's still I think the last match I read that it started at like 3:45 a.m. the Vampiro retirement match. I mean, unbelievable, man, this show. And, you know, I have to be honest, and I've told you this plenty, Steve, but I've become a JCW fan. I am a fan of wacky shit. I love
you don't fucking say the
wrestling. I love it. And that's what JCW does have a lot of, ECW tones to it. Maybe more XPW tones, I guess, perhaps.
I would see that.
Fairly raunchy and sometimes, and there's just like, it's very like brazen and like in your face, and it's kind of sloppy, and it's just, yeah, you know, it's one of those things, but I love it. And that said, I dug the show too. It was long. It was late.
Yeah.
I think we caught most of it the following day, in fact, because it was so fucking late that the show started.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some definite highlights in there. The Vampire retirement match.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yep. Vampiro versus PCO versus Big Vito. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Vamp going out and storied career.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, sir.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Vampiro.
And I'm a huge Vampiro fan. I always have been and always will be. And it's time for him. I mean, just going in this match, I mean, like nobody was carrying anybody in this match. It was just kind of like, oof-da. They were just kind of trying to, I mean, I don't blame them. By all means, if you're trying to do a match at 4 a.m.
Four in the fucking morning, bro. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, you have to take that into consideration. I mean, to have the stamina and the ability to stay awake that long with or without drugs is a whole other story, but man, Jesus Christ, you know, but no, fun show all around. I mean, what else can you say? It's JCW. It's the crazy world of JCW, and it's just going to get crazier. I feel like there's some momentum for the company coming off of this and in their show as well weekly. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I think that you hit the nail on the head. JCW in the past year, they've really solidified themselves as being an alternative. You know, we heard that word being thrown around quite a bit with other promotions, but in the truest sense of the word, JCW has become an alternative, and their show is free every single week on YouTube. I know that you've been you know, banging the drum, trying to get me to check it out. So I think I'm going to check it out going forward and join the ride.
Yeah. It's fun. Thursday nights, where I'm at in Minnesota here, it's 6:00. So 4 PM Pacific start. And man, pull a 420 and enjoy. I say to that. So one thing from this show I have to talk about a little bit was the 6-man tag with Rob Van Dam against the Good Brothers and Kenta. So Kenta, really, he didn't do anything this week other than this show. This was the only appearance I saw of Kenta all week in any of the lineups or anything. So he shows up. He's looking all right there. He looks like he's gotten himself in shape. And, he's looking good. Goes in there. They start the match with RVD and Kenta. RVD does, like, this weird kind of, like, startup, like, little pop to the nose. I don't know what he was thinking, but he fucked up Kenta beyond recognition from one punch, and that was pretty much it for Kenta for the entire match. The match broke down like a motherfucker, and the Good Brothers carried it. Kenta basically didn't hardly do shit in the match from that point on. He was bleeding profusely from his fucking nose. I'm sure his nose was busted open and broken, but so a complete train wreck of a match. Literally the first spot of the match. Pop goes the weasel. So
That's unreal, man. You know, and,
crazy.
Yeah. And it just goes to show like how quickly things can break down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but you know, turning our attention to a very, very solid show, talking about the MLP Multiverse show. This was at the Palms, and you know, to me, this card is easily defined by trios matches. The two of them on this show were fan fucking tastic.
Yes.
You know, you had Sydney Akeem, Michael Oku, and Rich Swann versus The Demand, which, dude, I did not know that was a match that I wanted until it happened. And yeah, also shout outs to our boy Toa Leona. Toa's a great guy, and it's fantastic to see he and Khan all over the place this weekend as well, getting the recognition that they deserve for their hard work. Toa, with his complete body transformation, is phenomenal, dude. Absolutely phenomenal, the work that that guy has put in. So, yeah, he put in the work, and now he's starting to see the results. Excellent.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm happy to see that AEW allowed these guys as a group to do so many shows this week. It really established them. I think it's going to help their push on AEW as well, because they really represented well this week. And here's another match as well that we had a little bit of interaction with a TNA talent and an AEW talent. I was shocked that they allowed Rich Swann to do this match.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it either.
Right. From my understanding, I don't believe he's on a dedicated contract with TNA. He's on like an appearance thing. So he had control over this booking. Thank God.
Jeez, dude.
Because him and Ricochet go back a long way as well. I remember seeing them in tags in PWG. They really, you know, came up together and are real close. I think they're definitely still got that chemistry going on, as we saw in this match. So.
Hell yes, man. Yeah. Hell yeah. And, you know, the other trios match that we got to talk about is Mystico, Amazing Red, and Mascara Dorada versus the Rascals. Rascals, obviously, we just talked about them doing excellent things. And then, you know, they go and they do this match. And it's just like, what the fuck, man? These guys tore it up this weekend.
Yeah, this was the main event of the show too, and rightfully so. It really ended the show on a bang, and I felt like this show flowed maybe better than any of the shows all week. I just had like one like really like fun match after the next, and there was no bullshit in between. Even the Stephen Borden match with a guy I know he's worked many matches with, I felt like they perfected that match, and that came off really well. The women's, I think it ended up being a women's four-way match. I think it was originally a three-way. That was solid.
Killer Kelly was introduced. Yeah.
Yep, and she ended up taking the fall in that one. Yep. So I thought that was solid. The Paul Walker Hauser match with QT Marshall, he had another street fight that they had, just as brutal as the first one that they had in Ring of Honor. And I liked how they referenced that extensively, even showed clips of it. So again, the partnership between MLP and AEW shining in this one. They kind of like, even though Paul Walker Hauser isn't really with AEW at this time, they were perfectly fine with him using footage from their previous match to kind of build the story a little bit. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, obviously you talked about those things. Hechicero and Jonathan Gresham also was a technical masterpiece, my friend. That was, and the thing is, you say those names, you think you're going to get that, and then you actually get that, which was extremely exciting.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I was pleasantly surprised to see the layout of that match was interesting. You know, Gresham was like more of a, like a heel than I usually would see out of him in something like that. I thought it'd be the other way around. I thought Hechicero would be more of like the heel persona in that match, but it was not the case. And really uniquely, technically sound. Yeah. I loved that match.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid stuff, man. Yep. And then, you know, elsewhere, let's just briefly touch on Mecca. Like I said, Mecca will be talked about in depth with the DeFalco Files with Matt Michaels and Joe DeFalco coming up this week on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast network, if you will. And, you know, you heard it here earlier. BYP and Leo Rush had an excellent match on this show. Also, I mean, you know, the main event of you know, Zilla and Killer Cross, dude. Mm-hmm. Killer Cross is Vegas wrestling at this point. I think that's pretty safe to say. He has kind of carved out that niche for himself, and good for him on that, because this is going to be, he's going to be tied to Vegas wrestling until the end of his career.
Absolutely.
So Yeah, man. He's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes waves all across the city. It's his fucking city. No question about it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then, so also, we had, Effie's Big Gay Brunch that went down, and, dude, Effie and Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about a match that, that I did not think that I wanted to see until right. I actually saw it. Okay.
I hear ya. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised by that one. I did not know what to expect going into it, but I thought the chemistry or the whatever was going on between those two, man, it actually was pretty damn good. I didn't think going into it. I thought their styles are completely polar opposites in a lot of ways. But exactly. Man, Zack Sabre Jr., man, he is just like the most wrestler ever. I mean, for real. He can work with fucking anybody. He could work with a Mexican mini and somehow would get that match over.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, also shout out to Kid Bandit, who, you know, announced retirement at the end of the week. So, obviously, Kid, virtually loved across the board by everybody in the business. So, Charlie Evans, Ali Catch, Steph DeLander, Kid Bandit. These four delivered. And this was just a fun match with a, as you would expect, a contrast in styles between your participants.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I can't remember like how many matches Kid Bandit worked over the weekend. I know Kid Bandit worked on the Downtown Slam show that we were at as well. And then there was that particular match that was, I believe, the last match of her career. Yep. So, real impressive talent. One of those talents, again, that like the versatility in Kid Bandit. I've seen Kid Bandit have death matches. And I've seen technical masterpieces from Kid Bandit. It's really unique that a talent where they're at such a level where they're at just called it a day, but just their own. But I just thought there was many years to go with Kid Bandit. But
it is
what it is.
I completely agree, man. It is what it is. But, you know, the one last thing that I want to kind of get into is, as was mentioned, Natural Born Killers 5. This one went on after WrestleMania on Saturday night. And this was a fun show, man, coming to you live from the HyperX Arena. Shayna Baszler and Jhenny Kai. I mentioned how I thought that Jhenny had a standout week. And I think that, this match was definitely part of that. This was an entertaining match. And, of course, you know, if you like the MMA aspect, I would assume that with Bloodsport going away, that NBK will still stick around because they are not connected. So if you love this style, then who knows? Maybe follow these NBK events. And if FSW Smart, which I'm sure that they are, this becomes another brand that follows and goes around, because there is enough interest wherever you go.
Yeah, especially if Bloodsport's taking a break. Somebody's got to step in for that, and this would be perfect. I mean, you integrate Killer Cross again in the mix of this. He could be, like, once again, like this show was, he was, like, the host of it. And yes. I believe he did a match early as well.
Yes.
But, yeah, that Shayna Baszler, Jhenny Kai. What I have to say also about the HyperX Arena. So I'd never been to HyperX Arena until this event. And I was impressed by the fucking production in there, man. I know we briefly expounded on it earlier, but just the presentation of, you know, filming them coming down this long, like, corridor and then down the steps, just the whole presentation, man. I just loved it. It was just really, really cool. I felt like cutting edge. Quite a bit. And I hope that they continue to do shows at the HyperX Arena. I think it's a really, really, like, eye-opening, eye-popping venue that, from a TV perspective as well, I think would catch people's attention.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The look of the stage itself and the way that everything's framed, it was phenomenal. So yeah, man. Obviously the other things to to look at from this show. We had mentioned Matt Riddle was on this show. He went up against Jonathan Gresham in your main, which was very solid. And also you had Graves versus Simon Gotch, which was also a pretty hard hitting match. Always great to see Graves on these shows. There's another guy who continues to put in the work, bust his ass, do everything that he needs to do. And excellent showing by Graves in a losing effort.
Yep. And then one match that really caught my attention as well was Royce Isaacs and Bateman. I thought they were throwing down fucking bones, dude. They were throwing. I thought this was more probably the best presentation of this style on the show. I thought they really had a back and forth fight. I mean, it felt really, really like it should, you know.
It definitely felt like a fight for sure. Those two guys, and you know, Bateman, I think he plays the crazy guy well enough to where he can drive a lot of the psychology driven aspects of even a worked MMA match. You know, it's great that it translates even to this type of a style. As the Bionic Scoop mentions, FSW is locked up for once a month through the end of the year at the HyperX. Perfect. So if you are a Vegas local, if you did not happen to see Natural Born Killers or Mecca, then take your ass to one of the FSW shows at some point during this year. Do yourself a favor. That venue is gorgeous for professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. It's got that intimacy. It's got that immersiveness. You got the presentation down. Every spot you could sit in that venue is a good spot. I mean, you can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously there's another show that we really aren't going to talk too much about because it was two matches. It was the GCW Ultraviolent title on the line between Matt Tremont and Otis Kogar and the Immortal Clusterfuck itself. Yes, folks, I'm talking about the Immortal Clusterfuck 2026. Oh, dear God. I thought that I saw, you know, light tubes and glass and all sorts of crazy fucking shit elsewhere this weekend. But this Ultraviolent title, no, this reestablishes it. These two fucking killed each other. Absolutely fucking killed each other, bro.
Yeah, it was just one fucking thing after the next in that match. And that was the opener. I mean, granted, there was like two matches. This was a unique card. I mean, you're starting it late, two matches on a card. One is a hyper violent opener, cage match, glass tubes everywhere, shit fucking upon shit. And then we move to like a 2.5 to 3 hour gauntlet battle royal with like 70 competitors. Wow.
It was insane. The final elimination occurred after 149 minutes in the match.
Holy fuck. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're pushing 149 minutes in the match.
Whoo, boy.
So in case you're keeping score, that's 2.5 hours unto itself. And as Jed mentioned, this was a Royal Rumble type of a match where participants came in randomly throughout the night. You could be thrown over the top rope or and have both feet hit the ground, or you could be pinned or submitted. So all of those things happened. We had appearances in this match from a lot of the names that we saw this weekend. Mm-hmm. Even some that we didn't see this weekend, like the Invisible Man, who actually had the most eliminations out of anyone in this match.
Oh, my God.
Take that as you will.
What about the dinosaurs, too?
Fucking dinosaurs. There were three people in the blow-up dinosaur outfits. They were in there doing their thing. But the winner of this, of the Immortal Clusterfuck, was somebody who we saw numerous times this weekend, Shotzi Blackheart, who, dude, she is making one hell of a name for herself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if there are 10 people in the audience. It doesn't matter if there are 50,000 people in the audience. She's going to give you everything she's got at all times. Insane, dude.
Yep, definitely, you know, in my eyes, one if not the MVP of the whole week. Just like we talked at the beginning of the podcast here about how many times she worked in a day. I mean, breaking it down, I'm sure there's some resource online like Cage Match or something, but breaking it down, she had to have worked like 10 shows at least.
Yeah, it was wild, man. It was absolutely wild.
Yeah.
But as we get ready to wrap, obviously, I just want to take this moment to just kind of set the stage for what to expect with the Sin City Indie Report. We're going to be doing this based on feedback from you. If you like what we're doing, make sure you hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button for us or follow us on social media. Vegas Bad Boys. You see all the handles down below in this slick new graphical format that we've got. But in case you are listening to the audio only portion, Vegas Bad Boys, VEGASBADBOYZ on X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Twitch, they're a little bit weird. It's the full Vegas Bad Boys podcast. And obviously, VegasBadBoys.com. So we're going to aim for once a week on this. We may go once every 2 weeks. It just depends on, you know, what the scene calls for. And but in any event, we are going to be bringing you indie wrestling from all over the country. So if you happen to be listening to this and you're a promoter, if you're listening to this and you are a talent, if you are listening to this and you're a fan that loves a particular promotion, make sure that you hit us up on any of our social media. Let us know. Or you can follow me, hit me on social media at Sin City Steve and give me some material. Tell me what you want to see from this show. Tell me what you want to see on the Sin City Indie Report every week, because we would love to do it every single week. I got no problems with this. Yes. But, you know, it's... WrestleMania is an amazing time of the year. It allows us to essentially turn the page and look at what's to come. So let's just get this going, and we're going to be doing this stuff every week. Hit us up. And as far as that goes, Jed, before we head out of here, is there anything else that you want to tell the fine people out there?
Definitely. You know, if there's, you know, anything that piqued your interest about what we were talking about, you know, check out Wrestling Rants. I got some clips from most of these shows. I highly encourage you to support these companies and the content that they provide, either be it Triller or YouTube through, you know, various means to find them. Support these companies because they really went all out this week, and it made for me, you know, we've been to 12 WrestleMania weeks and with varying levels of shows and stuff. But to me, this was the most like variety, and there was so much of good shows, quality talent, unique moments, fantastic matches across the board. This whole week delivered tenfold, and I'm just looking forward to the next one already. So.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I love to hear. Yep. And I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code VEGAS at checkout and save yourself 10%. Let's take a deep breath, man.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think Uncle Dave said it best.
They held back on a lot of what they could.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butch, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Rocky
broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere, these bad boys rule and they make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.